Welcome to Thought Patterns. I am your host, Jason Trachtenberg, and welcome to our show. My thanks to the Empty Orchestra, and congratulations on our 70th show, and last week on the 69th show, which I was more than honored to be a special guest on. Oh, quick story, ladies, before you leave. Let me get a little juice in these headphones here. Headphones. You guys got headphones there? Good looking? Don't worry, we got lots of buttons here, when I woke up this morning, which I always do, I turned on the radio to another station, which I'm not going to mention because they're our competitor. So I'm going to mention our competitor. And guess what song at 7:45 was playing on the radio? 7:45 a.m. on the classic rock station.
Summer of 69.
Summer of 69, that's right. Or as we call it, the summer of 6 and 9. And of course, why did he buy his guitar store in a 5 and dime? Not the best place to get your axe. Seriously, what do you expect? What do you expect? And of course, I was born in the winter of love, which we all know. Have a wonderful weekend and congratulations. Of course, you always feel free to stick around if you want to, but I know you always have bigger and better things to do. Okay, I can take a hint. Because we're here live on Thought Patterns. We're on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. Shut the door right there. We're here every, we're here the first Sunday of every month. We're actually just been bumped up to a weekly show. How's everyone's headphones? Give a little more juice in there? A little more juice? Is that good? Got a lot of buttons here. And we have a lot of guests in the studio, too, but we'll get to that momentarily. Why? Because we are the number 8th ranked show in all of Radio Free Brooklyn out of over 100 shows. Why? Because we cover a lot of material, we make it interesting, and we want everyone to come out of this hour saying, oh, I want you to be different than you were when you started the hour. Right? I want you to have I know cataclysmic is about the biggest word you could possibly use, but at least like a nominal shift of your reality and your perception of who you are and what you are becoming in this lifetime as a result of the next 58 minutes of broadcast and talking. And obviously, if anyone has any feedback, I always welcome that completely. You can email me at thependulumswings@yahoo.com, thependulumswings@yahoo.com. And once again, the show is called Thought Patterns. And I'm your host, Jason Trachtenberg. For this hour on Radio Free Brooklyn, Thought Patterns, entering and exiting, coming and going, giving and taking, in one ear and, as they say, out the other ear, unless you're the three-eared mouse. Yeah. And I'm your host, Jason Trachtenberg. Today, we will have a wide variety of news, views, sports, and weather and traffic together on the fours, as always. There'll be stories, songs, poems, poetry, prose that goes and goes and goes. These are all thought patterns. Some of the subjects specifically we'll be covering today is we're going to be talking about a city powered by pistachios. We will be running a couple of ads from some of our sponsors. I'll be doing a piece about a pair of binoculars that I found in the bushes outside of Kurt Cobain's house in 1994. True story. We are going to be having a law debate on the air, a debate between lawyers, including in the studio live, we will have Ron Schwermer and his father or brother, Rob Schwermer.
His son.
You guys, sir, you look so good. It's hard to tell the son from the father sometimes.
Okay? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course. We'll have Rob Schwermer and his son, Ron Schwermer. We'll also have debating Rob and Ron will be Joseph Leibel Winowitz. And this will be all debating the latest on the driverless car lawsuit controversies. And we'll have a debate on the air because the driverless cars are, you know, is on the top of everyone's list as far as, you know, what is going on in this world. We're very pleased today to have Brooklyn musician Charles Mansfield join us on the air today to do a couple of songs. Well-beloved figure in the anti-folk scene in New York and in Brooklyn. If time permits, I will do a song that I wrote with Julie LaMandola a couple of years ago, but we'll see about that. That's triple asterisk, so we'll see if time permits for that. But as far as I'm concerned, these are all thought patterns. But what I really want to talk about today is the pistachio-powered city. This is something that I'm pretty pleased to hear about, and I wasn't sure if anyone has heard about that. But before I talk about the pistachio-powered city, let me talk to you a little bit about pistachios. Pistachios are a nut that helps cholesterol, blood sugar, and artery health. And you know, folks, when you think about it, what else is there? This, according to a study published in the Journal of Nutrition, found that eating pistachio nuts may improve cholesterol parameters, increase glycemic blood sugar control, decrease artery stiffness, and improve overall blood vessel health. The study tested 60 adults, most of which I know personally, and they all had poor cholesterol lipid levels. That's so poor. They were split randomly into two groups. One, the control group, were given lifestyle modifications, while the other group was given 40 grams of pistachios. Okay, so one group had lifestyle modifications, the other group got pistachios. Folks, which side are you on? Compared to the control group, the pistachios group's levels of high density... Here's what I'm talking about. If you want to lower your blood sugar, if you want to increase diabetes, the pistachios show better artery health. And this is just part of the situation. But here's what I really want to talk about. Okay, so we understand pistachios are a healthy lifestyle choice, but I just recently found out about Pistachio Power, the nuttiest biogas around. Turkey, one of the world's largest producers of pistachios, has begun using tons of the shells to produce biogas, which is methane, as an alternative energy source, instead of dumping the shells in the landfills. The country even plans to power its first eco-city using pistachio power. The planned 7,900-acre metropolis is expected to house 200,000 people in the Gaziantep province. This, of course, is the southern region near the Syrian border, in the heart of Turkey's pistachio production, where they produce all the pistachios, yielding more than 50% of the nuts. Let me tell you a little bit more about pistachios. The pistachio-powered city is an eco-city. It will be built in the aforementioned Gaziantep province, which provides more than half of the Turkey's pistachios. Now that we've said that twice, they've actually provided all of Turkey's pistachios. And it's no secret that pistachios play a major role in Turkish desserts, which include baklava, katmer, which is a crunchy Turkish pancake, salep dondurma, which is Turkish ice cream sweetened with aromatic mastic, which is derived from an evergreen from the pistachio family, and asyur, a Turkish pudding, and many other Turkish dessert delicacies that I cannot pronounce at all. A quick side note from my childhood, I like to also pepper my culinary stories with tales about my childhood. My mom told me something I would never forget, and that is how can you tell the difference between when it comes to spelling between dessert and desert? And this is what she told me, and I never forget this, is that dessert is the one with two S's, because you want to have two portions of dessert. And desert just has one S because you want to get the heck out of there because it's hot. To wrap up the in a nutshell, to wrap up this story, in Australia, they're already using macadamia nutshells for energy needs. And the eco-engineers are expecting that the pistachio shells to account for 60% of this new city's energy needs, and be ready to go hopefully within the next decade or so. Sometimes the biggest ideas can be found in a nutshell. Okay. Well, I think you get the point of that story. The point is that there are alternative sources of power and energy besides wind and solar power. There's actually also nutshells as well, too. I'm going to tell a story that happened in the 90s in Seattle, Washington. This is a story that this is an absolutely true story, and let me set the stage here.
Momentarily.
Today, my object of interest and curiosity for exploration and explanation is a particular item, and it was held for my daughter's immaculate vast collection of story-specific items of intrigue. She's often been heard telling the story about a pair of binoculars that was found, not just any pair, but was found in the bushes close to the proximity and the close vicinity of the house of Kurt Cobain from the band Nirvana. Let me repeat. I found a pair of binoculars in the bushes by the house of Kurt Cobain in Seattle, Washington, in the Lake Washington neighborhood around 1994. While I was living out in Seattle proper, it was in the early 90s, I was working as a dog walker. I had three Volvos in Seattle. I had a daughter. She was really sweet. She rarely cried. She'd never not eat. But like a lot of the younger folks of the day, she really admired the music that was popular back then, such as Nirvana, The Breeders, a band called Quasi, who I wish everyone would check out. They're from Portland. So also among her many prized possessions and prized stories is the one about her dad, me, who found a pair of binoculars in the bushes, where? By the house of Kurt Cobain, Courtney Love, and Francis Bean. Through the binoculars, I saw nannies, stacks of paper, some pharmaceutical drugs, plumbers, and my daughter incorporated these binoculars into one of her own recent music videos as well, too. My daughter has a band called Wooing as well, too. We'll talk a little bit about that more in the soon future. But for today's presentation, it's going to be based around these binoculars to give you a little bit more backstory about the story about the binoculars. And so you will all really know very well exactly what happened. But reinterpreted and to go deeper in depth with a backstory about these binoculars. Once again, but quickly, as an aside, this song contains an illegal rhyme. The song contains an illegal rhyme. Actually, I broke with songwriting regimens and regulations by making an illegal rhyme that you'll hear momentarily. And so I'd like everyone to take a three deep breaths in and three deep breaths out. To clear your heads. So I'm sure you'll know this song. If you know the song, sing along. But this gives a little more backstory about what the heck happened with these binoculars that I found in the bushes by Kurt Cobain's house in Seattle in 1993. Yeah. Yeah. So long ago, back in 93, I was out living by the sea. Seattle proper, to be sure, perhaps it was in 94, the day, the time, the year, I don't know. I had a daughter, she was sweet. She rarely cried, she'd never not eat. She liked the music of the day, the Breeders, Quasi, Kurt Cobain. The day, the time, the year, I don't know. I was walking dogs one morning through the bushes, found exploring pairs of panties, someone's knickers, and a pair of binoculars. There's a baby and a nanny, stacks of papers and some Zanny, epinephrine, OxyContin, bowls of Fruit Loops, soon forgotten. Yeah. It's 24 years gone, the industry still banks on the song. Yet through binoculars I've seen it's Courtney Love and Frances Bean. I know, I know, I know, I don't know, I know, I know. I was walking dogs one morning through the bushes, found exploring pairs of panties, someone's knickers, and a pair of binoculars. There's a baby and a nanny, stacks of papers and some Zanny, epinephrine, OxyContin, bowls of Fruit Loops, seem forgotten. Binoculars, 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 binoculars. Yeah. Take that. That's a true story. Found binoculars. And I do have the binoculars to this day. And they're Kmart binoculars. They're pretty high quality, and they still work. Although, unfortunately, there's nearly not too much to look at Bushwick. Okay. We're going to move on now, as we can only do after that. We can only move on. Actually, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to read a couple of ads, and then we'll bring on our debates with our lawyer friends who've all come down to join us tonight. So let me read a couple of quick ads because we've got to pay the bills here on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're here. The show's called Thought Patterns. We're here the first Sunday of every month, but actually we're going to be moving to the to a weekly slot because of songs like that. That's right. Let me read a couple quick ads from our sponsors here. And once again, if you want to donate to the station, we're at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, www.RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. It's a local radio station. It's an internet station. It's a community station. Hundreds and hundreds of programs, music, talk, sports and weather, everything you possibly need. And so let me read a couple of our advertisers from some of our fine sponsors who make this show possible. I'd like to thank Max Roach Exterminators. Max Roach and his highly trained team will exterminate any infestation, large or small, preferably small, serving all of Bushwick and beyond. Max Roach Exterminators. If it kills, we move it. Max Roach Exterminators. Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg is also brought to you by our friends at The Best Asbestos. The Best Asbestos, asbestos removal and asbestos removal services for the best in asbestos protection, asbestos removal, and asbestos removal services. The best asbestos can get. The Best Asbestos, asbestos removal and asbestos removal services. We put the best in asbestos. Okay. As previewed earlier, there is a raging debate going on around town, which I'm sure everyone has heard of, completely involving driverless cars. This is a somewhat new phenomenon. I believe that the driverless car started around 2017, and we're now here in 2023, moving right along here. And driverless cars do represent most of the cars on the road. I'm sure our guests can get us up to speed, no pun intended, a little bit more about the driverless cars. So here, live in the studio, we are going to present a debate based on, I guess, the legal ramifications of lawsuits involving driverless cars with our very special guests. We have Ron Schwermer and his son Rob Schwermer, who are here on behalf of victims of driverless car accidents. And then we have Joseph Leibel Winowitz, who's representing the Citizens Council for driverless car drivers, who's representing the actual cars who have no drivers, on the other side of the debate. So what we're going to do is we're going to use college rules debates here, which basically means is both sides get to present a 2-minute opening argument, and then we'll have a little bit back and forth. And then, as we do at Thought Patterns, I suppose transition into what comes next. So on one side of the microphone, we have Ron and Rob Schwermer. On the other side of the studio, we have Joseph Leibel Winowitz. So let's see. Let's start off with the prosecutors for this case. That's college rules. So ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Ron Schwermer and his son, Rob Schwermer. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us, Jason. Glad to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
My name is Ron Schwermer. This is my son, Ron Schwermer Jr., and together we are Schwermer and Schwermer, attorneys at law. We specialize in personal injury lawsuits concerning driverless vehicles. Now, in the past 5 years, we've seen a 5 to 10% increase in driverless vehicle assaults. I can throw out some stats unless you want to take it over from there. It's really up to you.
Look, Ron, just finish your talk.
Okay, thank you, Joseph. Okay, I'm going to have to go ahead and say that 13% of 24 poll participants stated that at a higher 70% chance of injury by a driverless vehicle in the past 3 months. Now, that is a significant increase, okay? I'm talking epidemic numbers here, okay? Think about that.
Those are numbers.
They're numbers, but they have some weight behind them, Joseph. Now, I know you, okay? I know the way that you work, and I know that you're out here looking for people who are hurt, people who are in danger. You smell blood in the water. I know you're an ambulance chaser, Jason.
My name's Joseph.
Joseph. Excuse me, Jason. I'm sorry.
No, that's no problem at all. I'm just the middleman here.
Now, Joseph, have you seen my advertisements?
Look, I ride the subways in New York City. I'm very familiar with their advertisements. Very clever campaign, gentlemen, by the way. Very clever campaign.
Thank you. It was a traditional campaign, using mostly print.
My father's the best lawyer around.
That's true.
Let me state my case.
I love you, Dad.
My name is Joseph Leibel Winowitz. I'm representing the Citizens Council for Driverless Car Drivers. We've been noticing an upswing in frivolous lawsuits and even more frivolous counter-lawsuits. As a result, we'd like to actually arrive at an acrimonious agreement between both parties. I will have Adam and Admin come and take a look like a little bit closer at the case. But until here, we are the drivers for the driverless. Who can represent those who cannot represent themselves? We fight for the underdogs, even if the underdog is underneath the car, as a result of a driverless driver. When I walk into the courtroom, all I have to do is generally just slam my legal briefcase down with such force, like this.
Jesus Christ.
That the judge generally dismisses the case before the opposing attorney even has presented his case, especially if the other attorney comes to court with a backpack on. So unprofessional. What is this, amateur hour? Or as I say, what is this, amateur hour? Oh, I dropped my pen.
Now, I'd like to propose a classic law example here. Let's say that you have a driverless car careening down the 405, okay? A small child, give or take, 6 or 7 years old, runs into the road. This robot then has to make a decision on whether to careen your car into the child or throw you and the car into a tree, killing you. These are the problems that we're trying to look at here with this campaign, and these are the problems that we're handling in the courtroom real time right now. These are the problems that you're fighting against.
You represent the machines. We represent the people.
You kids are ignoring progress. Progress has gotten us where we've gotten this far. To ignore it would set us back thousands and thousands of years. Why do that to humanity?
Progress will kill us all.
I'm representing the Citizens Council for Driverless Car Drivers, also known as the CCFDCD, which also, by the way, is the chords to our latest catchy jingle. If you'd like to hear it, this is our latest catchy jingle. We are the Citizens Council for Driverless Drivers, CCDGCD.
I mean, that's very beautiful. We, our production...
I'd like a copy of that one.
Yeah, our budget didn't allow for any sort of jingles. I mean, we tried to put something together ourselves.
Well, you think with all the lawsuits you've won, you'd be able to save a couple dollars on some lawsuits. I mean, the jingle didn't cost that much to write. It was just a couple $100,000.
It was a hefty sum of money. Most of it's gone into putting my son through law school. I've had to pull a couple of strings, pay a couple people off.
Well, my dad knows people. He's a people person, not a machine person.
Gentlemen, I think you have presented your case quite clearly. Hopefully we can come to terms and maybe even settle this out of court. As my dad would say, case closed. But then, as I would say, Dad, you're not even a lawyer. Okay, I think we've actually come to the end of our debate on the air. I believe both sides have stated their case. Any closing statements, gentlemen?
I just want to say, if you have experienced any sort of assault against you by a driverless vehicle, please visit Schwarmer and Schwarmer.com to watch our commercial, and then call in to 718-644-9506, and just leave us a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we can, and we'll get you your millions in compensation that you deserve. Thank you.
And Joseph Leibowitz, any final words from you?
Yeah, I'm getting tired. I rest my case.
So what you've heard here is an on-air debate between Rob and his son, Rob Jr., Schwarmer, attorneys at law, and Joseph Leibowitz. And just so everyone knows, I actually was very pleased. I'm a subway rider as I ride in New York, and I was riding the subways one day. This is Jason Trachtenberg, by the way, the host of Thought Patterns back here. I think Joseph Leibowitz might have left the building. I'm not sure, in a huff. That guy stormed out in a huff. Oh, no, he forgot his pens and his briefcase. Oh, well. Okay, so I was riding the subway one day, as I do in New York. Actually, many days. I have an unlimited Metro card, and trust me, folks, I use it. I use that thing. The MTA is losing money on me. All right, and I also give the other guy a free swipe when I'm leaving the thing. Right? I say, hey, who needs a free swipe? Even if they don't even need it. Okay, don't get that off the money off your card. Because I got an unlimited. I'm not afraid to use it. Okay. And I was riding the subway. It was in the L train, and it was the second car from the front or the back. Because I always ride in the second car from the front or the back. And can I actually take a quick detour as to why I ride the second car from the front or the back? Because I'm starting a citizens campaign by fiat, in which the second car from the front and the second car from the back of all subways will be a cell phone digital device free zone. You can read a book. You can snack on healthy snacks. You can't have okay. But no fried foods, but just pistachios. That's all you can have, right?
That's nuts.
Yeah, I think so too. But anyway, it's going to be called Second from the Front, Second from the Back. Get your life and your humanity back, Right, that's gonna be our campaign. We'll have a little beautiful, catchy song for it. I'll have that guy write one. Yeah, who wrote the song for Joseph. And so I was in the second car from the front or the second car from the back. Also, I like to be in the second car from the front or the second car from the back because usually it's closer to the exit without being in the front or the back. And in case the car gets rammed or rams into something, I'll be somewhat safe because I won't be in the front or the last car. Smart. But I'll still be close to my exit.
It's a smart move.
I think these things through. and so anyway, and I was riding the subway. And of course, I ride the subway so much as a result of my day job that I look at the ads when I'm on the subway. And I look very closely at the ads because, I mean, I was actually going to go into advertising and marketing as a student back in, I mean, do the math. I mean, it was the late 80s. I know. And I just made a couple of different career choices and didn't go in that direction. Started like learning playing guitar. I'm going to be a singer-songwriter, and I'm gonna change the world with my songs. And so I dropped out of college, and I'm still holding off to that. Seriously, I still believe every couple of years I still believe again in music. It still comes back to me. Like, you know, I know it's an important art. It's an art form unlike the other art forms. Music is. And actually, we'll be getting to that with our guest Charles Mansfield in a little bit here. But how music is such a powerful art form. But I was looking at the ads on the subway, as I often do, and I saw this one for Schwermer and Schwermer, attorneys at law. And I looked at it once or twice, and it looked like any other ad. It had like the SNS with the legal bench on there, and had a couple pictures of the attorneys, these kind of middle-aged, older guys with. Real attorney looking and stuff, kind of the crumpled shirts and the ties and all that stuff. And then I looked a bit closer and I saw like one of the guy's heads was upside down. I said, wait a second. And then I saw, wait, they're talking about driverless cars operating three out of four driverless cars. I started looking at them and like, oh my gosh, this is a prank subway ad, right? Done completely professionally that you really have to dedicate your senses and your sensibilities and you just have to let go of yourself just for a second and take in this very creative piece of artwork they had it put up in the subway, so it was fit in perfectly, like along with the other ads are. You know, like the rectangular ones you see up in the top for Apex Technical Institute, or where apparently Joseph Leibel went with this guy's law degree probably. And so that was true. And I looked at it, and it had a 718 telephone number to call, and this is the most creative thing I'd seen in such a long time that I almost wanted to tell everyone on the train around me, like, put down your iPhone things and look at this ad. This is so funny and creative. But in New York, we're kind of a little scared to kind of talk to each other without looking like you're all crazy and stuff. So I just sat there for however long I was on the train, just looked at it and just had a big laugh to myself because I was actually kind of having a rough morning that morning about whatever, God knows what unimportant thing it was. And I had such a good laugh on it that I decided to jot down the number, the 718 number. But then I didn't have to jot down the number because I saw some cards at the Graham Avenue stop. We're stuck in the thing. I said, okay, these guys are for real. I got to see what the Schwermer and Schwermer is all about. So I called the 718 telephone number, left several messages, right? They called back pretty quickly. They called back within 24 hours. And I'll tell you, my first thought, I thought it was like for one of these like Vice TV shows, like where there was like one of these ads, like that show. I haven't seen the show, but actually it goes back to what we were doing a few minutes ago. Nirvana, the band, the show. Have any of you guys seen that?
No.
No one's, but remember the ads for it on the subway though? Okay. And so I thought maybe it was something like that. So I figured, well, I got to get in on this deal, right? So I called the thing, and they have a professional, I think it's Schwermer. And so after about, 24 to 26 hours, they got back to me, which is legally acceptable. And I got the call back from John Hammond, who told me that it was an art project. And I thought, I've got to have these guys on the show. I want to invite these guys in, and we'll go, and we'll take it a little bit further as far as, like, you know, we'll be the characters and all that, I'm sorry, burst everyone's bubble right there for a second. I'm sorry, but I just want to talk to you guys about the project. What inspired it? Is this a school related thing, or is this something you've been thinking about for a while? And but it's excellent. It's very successfully executed.
Thank you. We write some comedy and stuff, and when we get the chance, we always try to make whatever we're writing. And so I was going in. I'm going into my senior year and making a thesis and stuff, and. I was like, hey, why don't I take one of these sketches and try to do a thesis out of it? I mean, I go to an art school, so it's pretty, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I took this driverless vehicle lawyer sketch, and I made it into a commercial. And then there's, like you said, the business cards, the subway ads, the whole shebang.
So, exactly. And also, I like the way how you mixed comedy, art.
Yeah, design, all.
And even activism, because... you know, taking the effort to, tell me the story about how you got the ad up on the subway car. Did you, like, late at night?
Yeah. I ride the L to the 8th Avenue stop. Everyone gets off, and you put them all up, and then everyone gets
kid's a genius.
Yeah, that's so smart. Yeah, and did you measure them? Because they fit up there perfectly.
Yeah, so I looked up a lot of the dimensions and stuff. But the conclusion of the project is really the reaction that we get from people like you and people calling in. Yeah. So I have some really strange, you can go online. All the messages that we received have been transcribed on shwarmershwarmer.com.
Oh.
We've got some really strange people calling in claiming that they have been attacked by driverless vehicles, been hit by driverless vehicles, they need help, stuff like that.
Has a lawyer ever called up who says he's going to represent the driverless
vehicle? So when you called, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, wait, hold on. Are there really driverless vehicles? Otherwise, this lawyer calling me. It was a very funny message.
The first message was really inspired, I got to say. Yeah. But the second one, I kind of dropped the veneer a little bit. But
you were like, oh, I'm very successful. I'm not just a telephone, salesman or whatever. It was very good.
Thank you. Yeah, I was when I get into character, I go deep, for sure.
Yeah, it was spot on.
Well, congratulations on the campaign.
Thank you.
Really, really impressive. Do you have any other ideas for your next campaign, or how far are you gonna take this thing?
So I want to keep it going. I think also, like, going forward, when we make comedy in the future, I think it's been a really cool experiment to kind of blend the line between, a comedy sketch and reality, and kind of messing with those two things and seeing how far we can take it. So I think the next time when we go back to the drawing board, we'll try to incorporate that again.
This project was mostly John. I mean, it's basically all John because it was his project. But we're working on right now a bunch of stuff that we're going to be bringing out and try to put on YouTube and John's website.
Yeah, johnconnorhammond.com, my contacts there.
Definitely check that out. My wife thought you guys had a several $100,000 budget.
And
I tried to convince her. I don't. I think they just worked really hard, had some friends who were really dedicated and put in – time and energy.
Yeah,
because that's
a lot of really great people helping us out.
It's really true. It's like, I mean, I try not to get too down and stuff about stupid showbiz stuff. But it's like, I was walking in the East Village, around like Avenue A and between 7th Street and St. Mark's and that enchanted piece of land there, and then the whole street's all blocked off so they could film Broad City. I'm like, this is so not real. It's like if you guys wanted to film that, we could film that with cameras. We could do that ourselves. You don't need to have hundreds of people working out of trucks and trailers and low grade catering, and it's just like you don't really need that to film creative stuff. What if instead they, I'm not getting down, but what if they just put all that energy into writing the most? I mean, I'm not going.
We just drove around Greenpoint for one of the scenes and just found some empty road.
Yeah,
and that's where in the commercial Asher, who's back there, gets hit by the car.
I saw that. I saw that. Are you okay, sir? Okay, that was
very realistic.
The compensation he's getting is even better.
Yeah. I bet it is. He's represented by only the best. So I recommend everyone go to shwarmerandshwarmer.com. And then once again, John, your site is?
JohnConnorHammond.com.
These guys are brilliant. And you just look out, because these guys are going to take over the worlds of entertainment, art, media, comedy, film, and entertainment.
You heard it first here.
Great. Yeah. Thanks so much, Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. My pleasure. So best of luck to you guys. And
thank you.
Actually, we're going to run one more ad and then bring on our musical guest, Charles Mansfield. Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah. I'll just scooch that one mic over there. It's going to be one for the guitar and one for the vocals. I'm going to give it a little push. This mic over there. Okay. It's a live radio show. Anything goes. You guys are good. Yes.
Thanks.
My pleasure. And it'll be up online soon. So,
sounds
good. And we'll be in touch, okay? Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a live show. It's a live radio. No, these guys are great. No, it's very funny stuff. That was so. Let me run an ad for one of our other sponsors. We're pretty excited to be getting corporate sponsors these days because we've actually hit the big time. We've got an ad from Converse Sneakers. That's right, Converse Sneakers, where you can put the left foot on the right shoe, and the right shoe on the left foot. It's Converse Sneakers. The show's called Thought Patterns. We're here on Radio Free Brooklyn, radiofreebrooklyn.com. We're here the first Sunday of every month, we're soon to be coming a weekly show starting next month. We'll be here the first Sunday. We'll be here every Sunday, every week of every month. No, please, come on in. All right, catch you guys later. For a radio station, that is the squeakiest story you could... Oh, jeez. Oh my God! I don't know if these mics. That's the thing. The mics here are so sensitive that they pick up everything, and that's okay sometimes. So we're here at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. The show is called Thought Patterns, Radio Free Brooklyn. My thanks again to Tom Tenney and Robert Pritchard for enabling the enablers for this right here. And we are pleased right now to be joined by a good friend of mine from the anti-folk scene, music scene, Kat, who I've known for a couple of years, a very well-loved musician on the scene, Charles Mansfield. And so we'll start off with a song by Charles, and then we'll talk a little bit about Brooklyn and music.
Out the black oak's outer window. It's home, but it's not. Now it's 3 on the dot, and I'm just blowing my brains out all over again. And I checked to see if the Dodgers. September, and I can't remember just what to do when the leaves turn purple and gold. But at least I can breathe, and that's no small thing. Used to be so peaceful, I
Charles Mansfield, live here at Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. That was a nice song.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. You do good stuff with words. You know, and that's hard to find these days. Lyricism is a lost art.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because when I was growing up and listening to music and writing it, the lyrics were never something I found to be very interesting. You know, I was just using them as placeholders and things like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've just grown to be interested in it.
Definitely. Do you read a lot?
You live long enough and you can't even, like, sometimes you think you read a lot and then you meet somebody else who's read so much more.
Oh, no, it's not a contest.
And then you're like, yeah, maybe I haven't read that
no,
much.
No.
You know, I read a fair amount.
Good. Good. Yeah. These days, that is a lot.
Yeah.
What are you reading now, if I may ask? Because I need a new book recommendation.
Let's see. It's funny. I finished this book called, have you heard, Elena something or else. She wrote this book called My Brilliant Friend. It's a trilogy about this girl who, it's a coming of age story, right? And it's funny because the book is largely about this girl who's obsessed with her friend as they grow up. And so I finished that book, and then I wanted to read this other book by this author named Zadie Smith, who I like a lot. And as soon as the book starts out, it's the exact same plot. It's
no.
A first-person story about a coming of age about a girl who's obsessed with her friend. So I had to put that one down.
I'd say so.
And I went back to Game of Thrones.
I see. I understand. The book.
Yeah.
Of course. That's the thing. It's like, I mean, but think about, like, as I was maybe alluding to a little bit earlier, as far as music being a different kind of art form as opposed to literature or visual art, in that I think you can almost get away with having two of the same song and it being a little more acceptable than if you have two of the same book or two of the same painting. As for some reason, we would get down more on those kind of artists than a song like, especially these days. I mean, and it's almost like if you're not ripping off another song, it seems like they won't let you on the radio, be it sampling or just something that's so close for comfort.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're just always using, it seems to be the same, themes and melodies.
It's just the saddest things. Or even like, if you Google All of Me, John Legend comes up. Not the classic, All of Me, why don't you take All of Me? It's like, what is this world coming to? It's like, that song's lasted forever. That song's had a 90-year history, and it's just going to get wiped out by someone else's vested financial interests.
And his name sounds a lot like John Lennon.
Oh, so my God. Like, I thought that, too.
He's all over it.
I'd forgotten about that. That's true. That's true. And he's not the problem. We're not singling him out here, even though we are. But it's just like, if you put yourself out on the radio like that, you're going to have to put yourself up for criticism. So, that's why it's so important to make important music, important art. And for those of you who don't know, I know Charles from the anti-folk scene in New York City. For those of you who don't know, the anti-folk scene is a kind of a historic scene. It's going to make the history books. It started, a quick overview of anti-folk to the best of my storytelling abilities, is it started around 1983 by a fellow named Latch, L-A-C-H, who came to New York City to be the next Bob Dylan / Johnny Rotten, somewhere in between, like a lot of us did. And back at the time, most of the scene was in the West Village, Bleecker and McDougal, around there, where all the folk clubs were. And actually, at that point, it was, still the early 80s, so it wasn't that far removed from the 60s. You can kind of, in the late 50s, and the Beatniks, and the, the Bob Dylan, and the Dave Van Ronk, and the, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Joan Baez, and the like. And you could actually still feel the vibe of the energy that they created.
It was still current, in a way.
In the late
80s. The sun was going down, but people didn't know that yet. I think that's
the scene got kind of taken over by folk purists. The ones who, when Dylan went electric, they're like, Judas, and they couldn't really take it. They never really got over that. And so if you're doing something that acknowledged that a musical form happened post folk, in other words, rock or disco or whatever, they didn't really have too much time for you as far as booking goes. So Latch went over to the East Village, where things were a little bit more grungy, a little more open, and he started a club called The Fort, I believe out of his living room at one point, and then they got a proper space of some variety in a bar, and they deemed the term anti-folk, because if what they're doing in the West Village is folk, then what these new cats were doing in the East Village was anti-folk. And so the scene eventually, I could give you the list of names, but I don't want to single anyone out or single on anyone, so I'm just going to leave that be for the time being. But it eventually wound up at a club called the Chameleon Club, which was on 6th Street and Avenue A, and then for a couple of years, and that's when I got on the scene. And then shortly thereafter that, it located to its present home of the Sidewalk Cafe around 1993, I believe, which is on also 6th Street and Avenue A, in the Music in the Back Room. The Sidewalk has the bar when you walk in. And then there's a music room in the back, and it's if you're looking for something to do in the East Village, it's free shows every night of the week, 7 nights of the week, no cover, buy a drink, buy a tea, or they'll plug their hummus, I'm sure, and you'll see a free show generally of music that, yes, I'm biased, but I mean is as viable or as entertaining as anything you'll see at Webster Hall or Terminal 5, or anything else for $50, $80 tickets. Or Radio City Music Hall. I'm just saying, it's just as entertaining as anything you'll see there. You'll see the next, even if they're not the next big thing, you'll see someone who's really paid their dues, has a lot to say, and for whatever reason, they weren't anointed to be in someone's back pocket, and so they play these shows. And the thing about the Sidewalk is that it's not based on how many beers you sell or how many tickets you sell. It's based on how committed you are to the scene. How you support other artists and your artistic integrity. Whereas other venues, if you don't sell the right amount of beers, Mercury Lounge or a place like that, you're not getting asked back. And so that's what I like about the Sidewalk, is that it's totally not about that. It's one of the few venues that is. And so we're here with our guest, Charles Mansfield, who's, I can definitely say, is one of the most beloved figures on the anti-folk scene. Everyone loves this guy, seriously. I've never heard a bad word about you. And I go there and I gossip quite a bit. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about you. So Charles, I just have to ask you this. Okay, just between you and me.
Okay.
What do people talk? What do people say about me? For real? Do people like me, or do you get?
Because I know. Oh no, you're well beloved. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Are you sure?
People love Jason.
I know there's a few who don't. I know I'm aware of that.
Well, maybe I could think of one, but you don't like him.
Oh no, we're not talking about that. That doesn't. Well, no one likes him. That's different. That's a different situation. And most of our listeners out there actually do know who we're talking about because he was on the surf reality scene as well too. But yeah, that does not count. Okay. Yeah. But as far as like regular anti-folkers, right. No one says anything bad about me.
Oh no, not at all.
Okay. Okay. Good. I'm getting a little nervous about that just because you know I can be a little. I think people might think I'm a little aloof sometimes. You know, it's like. But I'm a lot better than I was. Seriously, I stick around for the whole open mic generally, you know, whenever possible.
Right, I've noticed that. Yeah.
Thank you.
And there's a lot of, there's so many people that come in and out and they play, and there's just a lot of disparate characters. And now, not everybody is extremely, you know, affable or easy to talk to or friendly. But, you know, that doesn't mean they're not cool or good people. And, you know, if you talk to them.
That's why everyone likes you, Charles, because of stuff like that. That's a really good. Have you been to therapy?
Briefly.
It shows. Yeah. It definitely shows. So why don't you give us another song here? Is that you, you game?
I'm game. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charles, ladies and gentlemen, we're here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Show's called Thought Patterns. We're with our special musical guest, Charles Mansfield. And thank you all for listening. And we're going to have another song here.
Okay. This one's called Large Dog.
Started me thinking of a hard time pushing for some miles never sure would work out. The thought of why not just try, isn't it better to try and fail than not even try at all? Except for the fact that maybe she doesn't even want to. Her insides and heart are not in it, but won't admit it. Hopes I just get it. That's the elephant, more like a large dog. This whole emphasis on if she doesn't know if she can make me happy is just something she needs to do. She needs to go away, though she might want to stay, all things being equal, but with that being said, it's like a real easy way of saying I couldn't make her happy. It's just something she don't want to do. Just something she doesn't want to do. And that's the elephant. More like a large dog. That's the elephant. Maybe it's just more like a large dog. Run round my head like I can't even miss her, cause the pain never seems to work out. Crush it away, for they know that happiness doesn't stay, and I'm looking at a week full of hell. Just more like a large dog. That's the elephant. More like a large dog. That's the elephant. Maybe it's just more like a large ass dog. Started me thinking I have a hard time pushing for some I was never sure.
Charles Mansfield, live here on the air on Radio Free Brooklyn. You are a fine songwriter, sir.
Oh, seriously. Thanks.
All I can say is people need to get out. They need to come out to the Sidewalk Cafe and check it. It's a different experience experiencing, you know, it's like a one-on-one performance. Even there's like three levels, okay? There's like the one-on-one performance, then there's like, you know, the live performance in a show with a few people, a live show with a bigger show, and then listening to a pre-recorded thing on a record, all this. But this is as close as it gets, and this is very, very special. And I'm feeling really connected to your songs and your music right now. And I'm so pleased you came in. So tell us, do you want to give us a little rundown of your you know, your story, your history? Like, you know, how did you come to New York? How long you been on the scene?
Yeah, sure. Well, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. Oh. And but when I got to an age where I could, you know, move away from home, New York didn't seem all that interesting to me for some reason. And I moved to L.A. That seemed very interesting for some reason.
What year was that, just for argument's sake?
That was 89.
Okay. I think we might be about the same in the same same neighborhood. Yeah.
Oh, totally. So I lived there for... I was always saying, like, the most of my adult life, and that's still somewhat true, but I've been in New York for 7 years now. So,
and you were out in L.A. for all those years?
I was out, from, like, 20 years almost, yeah.
And were you hitting the scene out there, the music scene?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I moved out there to do was play music, but it was definitely more in the, like, a band kind of thing. And I was, you know, playing guitar and just wanting to be, you know, kind of like more of the next... you know, Jimmy Page or Dave Navarro or, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
And you're definitely... But, yeah. Sorry.
Not the tattoo, Dave, like the one who was in Jane's Addiction, who was like, that was a, like, I'm kidding. I'm really, it's
no,
just,
no,
they're
fine.
All the same people. But, but now when you say that name, it's like such a kind of a dork, you know, but back in like, you know, he was pretty cool back in 89.
No, of course. I even liked Stone Temple Pilots as well, too, back in my day as well, too. Although, obviously, I'm a Cole Porter guy, as everyone knows. Well, that's quite a story. L.A. is a tricky town to get around in. I lived out there for a month, and I just couldn't – I refused to get a car, even though I had a truck. Uh-huh. But I refused to move it from its spot because I didn't want to, like, deal with driving. So I would just walk everywhere. I was the guy. But where neighborhood in L.A.?
I kind of lived mostly in and around the Hollywood area.
That's where I was. I was in West Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I that was the first place I looked, but I didn't get a place there. So it was just more around, my first place was around La Brea and right off Hollywood Boulevard. I didn't have a car for a year myself.
That's brave.
Yeah. I didn't like it for 4 years. I don't know why I didn't move away.
That's true. Yeah. It's hard to, once you're somewhere, it's hard to get out.
Yeah.
And how was the music scene there? I heard it's tricky. I wouldn't even know where to start in Los Angeles as far as having a band or doing open mics. Do they even have open mics in Los Angeles?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. They got the same. I would just say the biggest difference about it is the open mic scene here, especially at Sidewalk. It's so rich and dense, and there are so many people, you know, because New York is such a focal point.
Yeah.
Whereas LA isn't such like that. So there'll be like a cool scene, but it'll kind of last for 7 or 8 months and then people will move on. And then you got to find maybe a new one or something like that.
That's tricky.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas here there's like 3 or 4 that are kind of the same, you know, all the time.
What other mics do you hit besides the Monday open mic at Sidewalk?
Lately I haven't been hitting really many others.
I know, why bother?
Like when I first moved here, You know, it was like that thing. I moved here. I didn't, like, know anybody. I didn't have any friends or anything. So that was really the best thing to do was just go out to open mic. So I go to, like, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 a week or something like that. Like, you know, Pete's Candy Store.
Of course,
that was a really good one.
Pete's Candy Store in Brooklyn, actually, it's gone on right now. It's a Sunday afternoon
exactly.
one, which is the oddest time to open mic, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the guy who hosted it, I always forget his name.
His name is Bruce. He's a great guy.
I like him a bunch. He's kind of like this kind of grizzled, you know, maybe a little bit more. He's always like, I've got more experience than all of you combined. He comes in and says this. But I think he might actually do that. And he would tell these stories about, like, you know, how he, like chewed bubblegum with David Lee Roth. I don't know where that story was going.
But he was good, too. He has a cool voice.
So. Yeah.
And he's high as a kite, too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm making some, might as well announce on the air. I'm making some personal changes in my lifestyle. And I guess I can announce that I'm on my 100th day of a straight and forward reality right now, and it's with the help of a lot of really good friends. I'm going to enjoy life and with the fresh air and all that comes with that. And I'm pretty excited about, not to judge, but I think the time has come for me. When the time comes for anyone, they know when it is. And I have not announced it on the air until right now. So that's thank you for that opportunity.
Congratulations.
To do that. Thank you.
It's really good to hear.
Yeah, I have a couple of really good friends from the Sidewalk helping me out as well too, and we're all in it together. Yeah. It's really, really sweet. So I know that you're going to be doing a show on Monday, April 10th at the Living Gallery,
mm-hmm.
Which is the rescheduled Snow. Yeah. A show for the art exhibit of our dear friend Uriel. I'm going to mess up her last name. Do you have any idea how to pronounce her last name?
I would just say Reina. The middle part.
This is the middle part.
Is that a middle name or like part of the last name.
I think it might be like one of those things. It's my guess. Is that hopefully she's listening right now and she can close up.
Get her on the phone.
There was a call-in feature. I just don't know how to use it. I thought it was like one of those things where like she might have had hippie parents. Like it was like half mom name, half dad name. Like, like my daughter does Pina Trachtenberg for a while.
Sure.
Right? She did for a while, but now she's just Trachtenberg. Yeah. Anyway, so Ariel, she's an artist on the scene, and her solo exhibition is called Of Ghosts and Girls. It's going to be Monday, April 10th at the Living Gallery, which is at 1094 Broadway. Our guest Charles Mansfield will be performing along with Ben Pagano.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me I want to practice my, because I'm looking at Mike Campbell.
Yes.
Mike Campbell, who are both Mike Campbell and Ben Pagano are fabulous songwriters. They're both piano based guys. Ben, actually, I got to know and Ariel. Whose art exhibit it is. It was actually, the art exhibit was supposed to be about a month ago, but then it was rescheduled from the blizzard of 17, which was a bit of a messy day. I remember actually I took the day off of work and everything that day. It was a bit of a messy day. And so it's going to be her solo art show, and I've seen some pieces from it, and it looks it's going to be a really fun night. I was so excited about that night, and so, but now I got to kind of juice back up for this. Once again, Monday, April 10th at the Living Gallery here in Bushwick at 1094 Broadway. I believe the music starts about 8 o'clock, and it'll be our guest Charles Mansfield, along with Mike Campbell and Ben Pagano, each doing musical sets and honoring the Ariel's first solo art show in a really nice independent gallery called the Living Gallery.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
Really cool. Do you have any other shows coming up?
I have a show. I got the Footlight. That's in Ridgewood.
I know the Footlight.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great place.
It's got potential.
Yeah, yeah.
And who else? They usually do group bills there. Who else is on that bill?
Yeah. Who else is on that bill? That's. There's sort of a newish band. They've been around for about a year. They're called Hora.
Oh, I know, of course. Yeah. With Misrepresent.
Misled, Misrepresent. They have a great thing going together. Yeah. And Mimi Oz.
I know Mimi Oz. Yeah.
And then there's another singer-songwriter named Caroline Cato. And she kind of comes in and out.
I know her, but I have a little trouble.
She's been in France for a long time.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Then, yeah. Other than me.
Me too.
it's the four of us, and that's the 23rd. That's a Sunday.
23rd of April?
Yeah, 23rd of April.
Yeah, Footlight's a cool club. It's in the Ridgewood District, which is right on the kind of by Bushwick. It's a new club started by, oh, God, what's that gal's name? The singer who started, she's on the scene. She's a singer, singer-songwriter, piano.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just spacing on her name right now, but it's her club. And yeah, they do comedy nights there. They have an open mic on Mondays. It's mostly a comedy open mic hosted by Victor Vernardo and Tim Shea. Mm. They do a really good show.
Tim Shea.
Yeah, they are very, very funny. They're definitely let's get back to the sidewalk real quick. so of course, I'd recommend to anyone out there, if you're a songwriter or if you just want to see the best night of entertainment you could possibly see, you can't really top it. It would be the Monday night open mic night at the sidewalk. Show starts at 8. The sign-up's at 7:30, 7:40 or so. And you'll see like 60 or 70 different acts. You know, some you'll like, some you can, you know, you might not like as much. That's fine, but you're guaranteed to see at least five or six things of a super profound level of a quality that I will stand behind. I will. You got my endorsement on that.
Sure.
This show is powered by pistachios. So we got about 1 minute and 15 seconds left in the show here. So anything else, Charles? Anything else you want to add to the situation, or
she's out of the blue. I don't know.
Do you owe anyone any money or anything? You want to maybe?
Or yeah, I was thinking maybe if somebody owed me money.
Does anyone owe Charles money? Please call us in right now, and we'll see you.
The IRS does.
They owe you money.
I haven't done my taxes yet. So
no, you got plenty of time. What are you talking about? You got plenty of time. That's totally fine. Okay, so I'll tell you what. Let's. This was a show and a half, and once again, as we said in the first minute of the show, hopefully you're somewhere now that you weren't an hour ago. Hopefully we've taken you on a bit of a ride, a bit of a journey. That's such an overused word. From point A to point B. I always thought that'd be a good name for a bar. Point B. It's like, hey, where are you guys going to? We're going to point B. Where are you coming from? Point A. Right? Anyway, I don't really spend any time in bars except for the sidewalk cafe, so that's fine. And I'm not starting one anytime soon. So thanks again to our guests, the lawyers, the Schwarmer brothers. Thanks again to our guest, Charles Mansfield. Thanks again to Joseph Leibowitz for joining us earlier. The show is called Thought Patterns. We're here Sundays, the first Sunday of the month, on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. RadioFreeBrooklyn.com.